You are listening to the WGXC Monday Afternoon Show. This is Melinda Broughton. Joining me today via Skype from Venice, Italy, is Sandra Teitke, the co-founder, along with Sarah Mavis, of the Dinner Exchange Berlin. Sandra, can you tell me a little bit about what Dinner Exchange is?
Yeah, sure. So basically, Dinner Exchange was founded in London in 2009 by a close friend of mine, Alice Plannell. And we've always talked about doing it, expanding it to other places. And in 2011, I had the opportunity, together with my friend Sarah Mavis, to start it in Berlin because we had an space where we could do it. So it basically started out as a supper club, but with the background of the Dinner Exchange, which is that we use products, produce from markets that hasn't been sold on a market day. So we ask the merchants on the markets, weekly markets, if they can give us their unsold fruit and vegetables. And then we cook out of this produce menus, and we try to be creative, innovative with these menus, and also create a nice atmosphere for the evening. And at the end of the evening, then we ask for donations, and part of these donations then we give further to initiatives and organizations that deal with basically like food distribution, food production, just general better food culture, food ethics. So that's the basic idea of the Dinner Exchange, which started in October 2011, and we've done it a few times in that kind of framework, and then it kind of developed into different frameworks. It was taken up by different frameworks, let's say it like that.
Well, I'd love to talk to you about the various frameworks, but could you tell me a little bit more about, so you're planning for the event that takes place one evening or for a meal, either you've done some breakfasts and you've done some lunch and you've done some dinner, but it's primarily dinner,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And so you go to markets and you ask them for food that is going to spoil the next day, or maybe they can't sell it the next week.
Exactly.
And could you talk a little bit about where you go? You go to markets, you go to bakeries, where else do you go?
Yeah, I mean, mainly we focused on weekly markets, outdoor markets, uh-huh. in Berlin and elsewhere. Because also it's nice to develop a relationship with the traders mm-hmm. on site. We have in Berlin, we have a few markets that we always go to and a few traders that we always go to, and they know us. And it's just somehow we're more interested in developing also this relationship mm-hmm. with individual people. And I think also for them, on the other side, it's also easier for them because they're individual farmers to decide whether they want to give us this food as opposed to big chains or supermarkets
yeah.
who, in our experience, have had kind of were a little bit, shy about giving us food because of the legal situation, basically.
Right.
And then, yeah, also, I mean, bakeries and wine shops, actually, we've gotten wine that they wouldn't have used in the future. So we've done different, but rather individual small shops than bigger chains.
Mm-hmm.
And it has actually always worked in this kind of setting everywhere we went. So we've been to Poland, Israel, Georgia, and we've never actually were disappointed like by the experience. There was always something to get, and it was always a really nice interaction with the traders on site.
When you go to a foreign country, for instance, in Tbilisi or in Poland or in Venice here, where not only do you have to communicate what Dinner Exchange is, but you have to do it in a foreign language, how do you negotiate?
Well, we always have local helpers. Otherwise, it's not possible
mm-hmm.
If we don't speak the language. So in Poland and in Tbilisi, we had people who helped us and also kind of who... Because we're not really interested in going to places for a few days and then leaving again. I mean, we're also interested in kind of creating more of a sustainable network, maybe, or kind of be incorporated, be part of a network, an already existing network. Mm-hmm. So the people we have asked for help, they also are active in that field in their respective environment. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of hoping by promoting or by organizing a dinner in every respective city to also kind of inspire people to continue on their own. If they would like to. Because, I mean, what we're trying until now, what we've tried to do with the dinner exchange is actually to kind of to tackle the issue of private food waste. So rather food waste in households and raise consciousness about that issue rather than on the kind of production site. Because there's actually food waste in every level of the food chain. It's 25% actually of food that is planted and harvested is wasted. And a lot of it is already wasted in the kind of on the way to the customer. And we are actually at the end of the chain.
And that's because 25% within Germany, or that's 25% globally?
No, it's kind of the general. In the States, it's 25%, I think. It's kind of an average number. In Germany, I have the numbers. For Germany, it's about 80 kilos that one person or one household wastes a year. In the States, it's higher, definitely.
And that has a lot to do with also expiration dates.
Yeah, it has to do with expiration dates, but it also has to do with, I think, aesthetic reasons also. If something, fruit or vegetables, don't really look consumable anymore, they're thrown away. So that's actually where we're trying to change or raise awareness within our guests, basically, in the minds of our guests. That you can actually kind of do really, like that you should think twice about cooking something out of what you still have in the fridge. It might not be perfect, but still can perfectly work for a nice meal, or if you go out and buy something new and fill up your fridge and throw away the rest.
Well, one thing I really love about dinner exchange is that you kind of have to work. So you go to markets or you go to various distributors and you have to work with what you have. You go the night before and then you see what ingredients you have, and you have to be creative or innovative in terms of what you're going to provide. And then because it's about creating conviviality and a sort of social engagement, it has, the presentation matters. So it's this beautiful thing of really having to work with the notion of creativity.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's also for Sarah and I, one very positive element of this whole project, because our work, I mean, more so Sarah's work, she's an economic journalist, is quite heady and not so creative. So it's actually a very positive element for us to have this creative side to it. Because precisely, I mean, we have every time it's something else. And I think that's also difficult for people to understand. We've noticed that people who help us, because we've had helpers, they always want to know in advance what we will cook. So, but it's, of course, it's not possible. Mm-hmm. But that's actually the beauty of it for both of us. And we always also, I mean, we try to kind of think outside of these conventional ways of preparing food and to experiment a little and go out of our own comfort zone.
So then every time you go to a new country, you try to work with the local palate?
Well, of course, I mean, that's kind of also another kind of beautiful aspect of this project, that you are kind of forced to cook locally, because we go to weekly markets and we try to kind of go to rather individual traders than big ones, and they have more of the local, regional or seasonal food, fruit and vegetables. And so we're kind of forced to cook with what we find. We can't escape the local aspect in a way of the project, which is wonderful because it happens naturally. So we have these ingredients, and then because we have also, we like to include local people who then help us to cook. So we always, of course, hope to also learn something from them. Mm-hmm.
And the dinner exchanges are getting larger and larger with each ensuing one.
you know, I could imagine at the beginning it was probably easy to get enough food at the markets or the various distributors, but have you ever come across having too many people, or how do you figure that out?
No, it's worked always quite well in the past. The dinners ranged from 20 people to 60 people. When we cooked at the Menta in Kassel, it was 60 people actually, but we always had enough food. Somehow it always worked out. And even, like as I said, even in Tbilisi in Georgia, everyone had told us prior to the event that it will be impossible to find something because they're very aware of their waste, or very conscious, and they use everything and nothing will go to waste. But we ended up finding actually enough food for probably, another 40 people, I would say, for that evening. So it's always worked. We have never really encountered the problem of not having enough food or having too many guests or too little guests, or...
Sandra, can I ask you a personal question, just because I think it would be really interesting to engage in the fact that you grew up in East Berlin before the wall went down. Mm-hmm. And do you think that this particular project is close to your heart because of maybe your upbringing?
Probably, yeah, to a certain extent. I would say so. I mean... Of course, I mean, yeah, in East Germany, everything was much more controlled, and there wasn't the variety that people enjoyed in the West. And we never really, I mean, I don't remember that we really spoiled any food. My mother was always very conscious about kind of taking care of this kind of aspect, cleaning the fridge or clearing the fridge. But I think, I mean, at the same time, I'm doing it. It was founded by Alice Planner in London, who grew up in France and England, and I'm doing it together with Sarah Mavis, who's also grew up in West Germany. So, I mean, there are different motivations. Of course, my motivation partly comes from that upbringing, mm-hmm. I'm sure, but not only.
Right. Could you talk a little bit about some of the organizations that you have worked with? Because I know you not only change countries or the various food, but you also go to various locations, different organizations, initiatives, collectives, events. When did that start taking? It's sort of from the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, quite quickly. After maybe four or five times maybe, we were invited to different frameworks, and which is actually, for me, because I come more from the curatorial side, that's actually a very exciting aspect of the project, that we, for example, had been invited to the Tempelhofer Field, the former airport in Berlin, where a theater and an architectural studio, Berlin-based architecture studio, organized this whole festival, and we were invited in this framework to organize a dinner about the future of the world, where we invited different speakers from different fields, architects, artists, theoreticians, to discuss that theme. And for me, it's really enjoyable to have this other level of the project, where it's also kind of an intellectual level, where you really try to create a discursive space and have a very kind of very energetic conversation. So we've done that in the Tempelhofer airfield. We have been invited to the Kunstwerke, also in Berlin, which is an art institution, contemporary art institution, where it was in the framework of a kind of event, two-day event called Voicing Responsibility. So on the issue of responsibility, where we again invited different speakers and filmmakers actually to present work and also trigger the conversation. What else? Another exhibition that was concerned with Hungry City, it was called, that was kind of concerned with people leaving the city, basically, this phenomenon of kind of people leaving the city and living outside of the city and producing the food that then will go back to the city.
Can you talk a little bit about that one?
But what we organized for that exhibition was quite a traditional dinner exchange, actually, because there wasn't a discursive element in it.
Hmm.
It was just part one event of the exhibition.
Okay.
Because
that actually is I while researching all the different dinner exchanges you've done, that one triggered my interest a lot, because a lot of people who live in Hudson maybe came from larger metropolitan cities and are pursuing farming, or you know, generating their own food or creating different types of alternate eating and living situations. So I thought that was really interesting that your dinner exchange coupled with that exhibition.
Yeah, but I think actually, I think the event on the Tempelhofer airfield, that was also in that kind of direction, because the women who invited us, they're architects and artists, and one of the artists, she's also really interested in that aspect, and she actually also created this whole self-sufficient house inside in the city, a little bit out, I mean, in Tempelhof, it's the center, but it's green surroundings. So she is also very interested in this whole aspect of kind of producing your own, being self-sufficient, mm-hmm. basically independent of the city. And we will actually do something again with her at the end of July in the framework of a different project that she's doing. But that's actually also in that, following that notion or that development. Mm-hmm. Valentina Karga is her name. She's a Greek artist and architect who lives in Berlin.
Wow. Yeah. I read also that one of your dinner exchange, a lot of your dinner exchanges, the donations go to initiatives that also deal with this. So, for instance, you had one dinner exchange and it went to a gardening organization who taught kids how to farm or grow their own vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, we try to donate or help support initiatives that are also Berlin based, because that's where we are based. And again, we've looked for rather small initiatives where we really have the feeling that we contribute to their development or really make a difference, basically, for their project. We've supported, for example, one person who gave actually workshops to children how to make falafel mm-hmm. out of organic produce. Or we have given money to a garden. There are these intercultural gardens, they're called, in Berlin, where you basically have a piece of land, and every district in the city has one, and it really tries to kind of deal with the problems of different youth within the youth population and the different cultures and the tensions between the different cultures. And they're trying to bring these adolescents together in the garden and garden together and overcome these problems. So we've given money to this initiative that then organized a workshop mm-hmm. with different adolescents. So things like that we try to find and support. Although we're still kind of, I mean, it's something that we're constantly thinking about, whether we would support one project or one or two projects on a continuous basis,
yeah.
or whether we would always give it to a different initiative. We are rethinking that one.
Right. Because probably yeah. with each ensuing dinner exchange, you come up with more and more ideas of what that particular collaborating with that specific institution or doing that specific event, there's always something that it could go towards, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, with every event, especially if we're invited to these festivals or events, we always meet new people who then kind of open our eyes for other things. So it's actually very beneficial to be present in these different frameworks for us.
Right.
Every time. Yeah, new initiatives or new organizations are presented to us. So it's been a very organic development mm-hmm. so far. Yeah.
Well, what I really love about Dinner Exchange is just also that you are infusing something like an alternate field. Of course, food and art have always been coupled forever, but that you're consciously making that effort to bring a field outside of the art as a way to sort of enhance the art world experience.
Yeah, I think it's also, I mean, I've worked in the art world for a few years now, and sometimes it gets a little frustrating, I think, because everything is also so much governed by the market and financial situation or people who have a certain financial power. And I think this project also helps myself to remain in the artistic field, because it actually could potentially... Oh, I mean, that's our hope, that it changes the way people think about a particular aspect,
mm-hmm.
food waste in this sense. So it's really important for myself to actually continue this project and also mix it with artistic projects that I'm doing. And what I find interesting from that I noticed that when we work in the artistic field, people don't really know how to kind of describe us. We're more and more kind of put into the artist category whenever we appear in the cultural framework. I think that's also an interesting phenomenon, that you can't really, artists are kind of allowed to research and kind of do these projects, but as soon as you kind of, when I say I'm more in the curatorial field, people are always irritated that I'm doing this food project. So I like all these confusions.
But isn't that a form of curation, where not only are you taking food from disparate places and creatively forming a new composition, you're also bringing lots of various practitioners or cultural people or artists, or you're bringing them together, and it's a form of curation.
Yeah, I would argue the same. It is. But I think just to kind of, I don't know, I think just the whole notion, the whole background of the project is seen more as an artistic project than a curatorial project. Yeah. So I just think it's interesting that it kind of confuses the audience. Yeah. Whenever we appear in these other frameworks.
So Sandra, you also switched recently from a nonprofit to wanting to be a company, or what you call a UG.
Yeah. Is it's that like an LTD.
An LTD.
In the Anglo-Saxon, yeah.
Is that also as a way to operate in a larger framework and maybe, you know, define yourself more or give yourself more possibilities, or why did you choose to do that?
Yeah, exactly, because, I mean, that's also kind of a little bit of, not a problem, but in that whenever, I mean, in the cultural framework, you're basically preaching to the already converted, in a way, because you find, I would say, the majority of people that think about the issue of food waste or eating healthier are probably to be found in the cultural field, or in the intellectual field, at least. And so we wanted to reach out to people who probably in the past haven't really thought about that, and in order to do that, I mean, we would like to also offer catering service to rather bigger corporations, also, I don't know, coming from the banking sector or the economic sector, and in order to do that, we had to basically form a legal entity